In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Good evening and welcome again. As we're continuing, and as I said before, just a quick announcement also, as we start the month of Kiyak, the Coptic month of Kiyak before Nativity. So starting from next Saturday, we will not have the Bible study. We'll take a 4 weeks pause. So today we're starting chapter two. We're just going to take a couple verses from there, and then we'll pause for the next 4 weeks. As far as Saturday Bible study, we'll be doing the schedule will be 6 to 6:30 Vespers, 6:30 to 8:30. We'll take 2 hours of the praises and prayers of during that we have during that month of Kiyak. So if that's the first cycle for you during the first time for this cycle of the church, I think it'll be a beautiful time to experience that and experience a taste of the midnight praises that we have, and then adding to it some parts pertaining to the nativity and pertaining to the preparation for that. So that will be starting Saturday the 9th, God willing, again. So 6 to 6:30 will be the Vespers, not 6:30. We'll start a little bit earlier, 6 to 6:30 at the Vespers, and then 6:30 to 8:30 will be the praises of Kiyak, God willing, for the 4 weeks before the celebration nativity. Celebration is January 6th, not the 7th. The 7th is the celebration, the actual day, but the service will be on the 6th in the evening. So January 6th will start, I believe, we'll announce more, but I think it's around 8 till or 8:30 till 11 p.m. on the 6th, God willing. So with that said, again, we're continuing. I can't believe it's December already and we're talking about nativity and Christmas and everything, but it's good season, beautiful season, and time for us to as I said before on last Sunday during the sermon, it's time to cherish, it's time to rejoice, right? This is the season to be joyful because of God's incarnation and becoming man in the flesh and taking our nature in order to give us everything that he has for us, everything. So this is the season. And as with this also, the Bible study that we've been having or being studying, Second Peter, again, remember, Second Peter is more of encouragement, more of be alert, be watchful, right? Because there are too many things happening. And at one point, they kind of like lost the feeling of the urgency, lost the feeling of that the Lord is coming, right? And as he said, you know, before his ascension, I will be coming back soon. And that soon, you know, it took a long time, right? And it's taken a long time. So they at one point, like, what? He's not coming. He's not coming anymore. So just forgetting about that and getting into their own lives and everything. Plus also, as we'll see today, more and more of the influence of the false teaching, the problem of the wrong teaching that was there at that time and still here at this time and all the time confusing, right, people and trying to take away that message and trying to take away that joy that we should have in him. So basically, again, chapter one was allowing us to know what we have in him, right? And that's, again, just kind of like a quick recap. Second Peter chapter one started by that beautiful passage, which is how and what we have in him, right? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, like how we are equipped to live this life already, right? It's not something away from us. It's not something that's impossible. It's not something that, you know, we'll not be able to reach. But he's saying that, you know what, his divine power granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, right? And then as with this, he starts, okay, if you have that knowledge, if we know what we have in him, now be careful because you have to live a certain life. You can't have that power. You can't have that all the strength and all the wealth that we have in him and just live as anybody else, right? So he goes with that, you know, after this, we talked a lot about, for this very reason, make every effort, right, to supplement your faith with the things that we talked about, right? And then after this also, he talked about, if we don't have these things, we are what? We're blind, right? We are short-sighted. We are ignorant. We have nothing, right? We have nothing, right? So It's like God gave us everything, right? Now we need to use and know and acknowledge and understand what we have in order to live a certain life. But if we don't, then we're down, we're out. You know, not only us, but the whole body of Christ. Right? And then, you know, the continuation again of the reason for that, right? And again, chapter 1, verse 15, again, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, to recall these things. The idea of that he, as the leader, as the shepherd, and the church as the mother, right, is always reminding us of these things, right? I will make every effort to remind you always of these things. What are these things? Again, who we are in him, what we have in him, what life we should be able to live, right? And how we can continue, why, what is the motivation to continue to struggle, right? Because lots of times we don't have that motivation. Like, you know, it is very hard, it's very exhausting, it's very tiring. You know what, why should I do that? But again, then he starts to talk about what? About eternity and about life and about, you know, as he himself said, that he is ready to do what? To take off that tent. Remember, we talked about this, right? As he's saying that his life on earth is just a very, very, very short time. It's like a tent that you take it and fold it and leave it, and then waiting and longing for the city that is not built by hands of man, but by God himself, right? And the proof of that is what we have, right? And what he have seen himself already. So Peter, again, remember being on the mountain, being in the, you know, witnessing the transfiguration, he goes, for this reason, you know, we you know, I was there, I saw the glory and I heard the glory, right? And that's another thing also that we always need to kind of remind ourselves as we are continuing in this struggle and as we continue in our life, are we able to see that glory or not, right? Because if we don't see anything, we're just doing things, you know, at one point again, like, why, right? Why? And you know, his presence has to bring that glory. His presence has to bring that joy, right? And as he said, that no one will take that away from you. So that was like, again, chapter 1, and he kind of gave the a proof for what he's saying by his own experience on the mountain, and by another thing also, which is what the book, the word of God, right? And that's what he said, like, even, you know, don't worry about what I'm saying, right? But we have the prophets, we have the word of God, right? And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. We talked about this, more fully confirmed than what? Than his own eyewitness, right? Like, this is from the beginning, right? And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's like that light, that lamp that shine in the dark place and will continue to shine till what? Till the morning star, right, dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, which is his presence in our hearts forever. So he's saying again, and we were actually talking about this yesterday on Friday Bible study, about that the reason for being ignorant is we are away from the word of God. Not just the knowledge of the word of God, because we can know. I mean, we go to places, you know, again, you know, we go to Africa, to places that, you know, they can recite the whole scripture, right? The whole scripture. But just what? Just intellectual knowledge, but not the word of God as it's actually settling and dwelling in our hearts. So that was chapter 1. Chapter 2, which we will start today, goes on with, again, more specific. So one is giving that kind of general encouragement, the general kind of, like, you know, upbeat of, like, you know what, here you go, you have to be ready, this is what we have, this is the life that we have to live, we have all the proofs to make sure that this is actually, it's not just, you know, anything, it's not, as he said, not just, you know, a myth that he's saying, but because of that you continue to struggle and to continue to persevere. But then chapter 2 comes with what? Be careful, again, be careful, be alert. Why? Because there are, and there will continue to be, what? False teaching, right? And he talks about here several things that we'll try to kind of, like, get an introduction of that. What is it and what are the characters of that threat that he's actually trying to tell them? Be careful, right? And in general, again, you know, maybe somebody will say, because, you know, as we will read it, let's maybe read first five passages, five verses or so, and then we'll continue to our discussion together. But I'll read from, again, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll read from 1 to 5. And we'll discuss it together. And again, I'm reading from the ESV. But false prophets, so again, but, you know, starting the chapter by, again, but the end of chapter 1 was, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, right? So every prophecy, all the book, all the scripture, remember, at this time, there was no New Testament, right? So what they have is the Old Testament. This is the scripture, right? And he's telling them that this is all what inspired and written by the Holy Spirit, right? By the Holy Spirit. And then the transition. But false prophets also arose among the people, right? Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. The text is very, very, very clear and very sharp and very alarming. Very alarming, right? Very alarming. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. There's a beautiful explanation of this word here, false words. We'll get to it when we get to it here. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly. I'll continue. If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of this wicked, for as the righteous man lived among them, day after day he was fomenting his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. And let's just, you know, stop at this point. We're not going to cover this, but as we're reading just the whole text. What do you think? I want to hear from you first, right? Because as I said, the text is very sharp, very alert, very alarming, and very clear at the same time. What gets to you, what comes to your mind? Be watchful. Why? Yes, yes, yes. Right. Be watchful, because something will come and it's not going to be clear that, you know what, here I am, I'm coming with wrong teaching, right? As we'll talk about it more. So be watchful. Yes, what else?
So, Abuna, one thing that.
One second, Brian, sorry. Owen, go ahead. I'll get back to you.
I have this image in my head that it would even be a secret to the false teachers, and that they would, in their own sort of self-image, be Christian, be doing it for other people, think that they're spreading the word, but being a statement.
Okay, so even the false teachers, you're saying that the might not know that they are teaching something wrong, right? For the most part. Okay, okay. Yes, they're probably being carried away by whatever teaching, and well, that's what it is, right? Okay, that's a good point. Okay, which is actually, again, back to what Alberto said, is very subtle, not only for the hearers, but for the people who are teaching also. Okay, right, right. Warning for us too, because if we're not clear, we're not careful, we're not watchful, we might actually be ourselves wrong teachers, right? Okay, very good. Brian, go ahead.
So the piece that I that caught me was around condemnation, and that you know, again, it's a warning, but the one thing specifically that caught my eye was verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell. You know, so that was something that caught my attention.
Yes, there is judgment, and there is just also, right? Yes. And as you know, just get a text here also, that idea of that swift destruction, like, you know what, it might, you know, have that connotation of it might not have time to actually recognize and realize, although his messages are all over the time, you know, be careful from this time. Again, by the way, what Peter is saying here is pretty much very, very parallel to whom? To the epistle of Jude. Jude is the same thing, right? If you look at it, Jude actually talks in the past. Here, Peter is saying what? There will come, right? Among you, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destruction, even doing it in the message, right? So but false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, right? Yes. So again, and then he talks about the swift, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Right. Okay. What else? Yes. David.
And he's always acting, said in these kinds of words, in this kind of manner. I think he would say to Jeremiah, where it talks about all prophets.
Right.
It seems to me like it takes another level, because you're messing with
yes.
You're taking these people that are his, particularly, and
yes.
taking them away, which is very, like, in another level.
That's a great point.
He also says, he abides by the ones who are fighting it, like Lot and
giving examples.
Noah,
right.
He says in the context of killing,
right,
destroying everybody but Noah, but essentially saying he's going to preserve those few who are going to fight it,
right,
and resist this, but he's going to come down so hard and just obliterate and desolate
those who are the reason for confusion. Yes. That's a great point. So Dave is saying again that idea here, it comes again that you know, the reaction of the Lord himself again is the false teachers, right? And the false teaching. Why? Because as you're saying, you're messing with my flock, right? You're actually confusing them. You're, you know, making them, you know, take a wrong path, right? So that's not acceptable, right? That's not acceptable, right? On the other hand, I will do every possible thing to save. Right, and we'll talk about this maybe not time, but later on, the example of Noah, right? That being, you know, really being, as it says here, tormented in his soul because of just, you know, being in that atmosphere, but still God is what, willing and able to snatch him out of the fire and to save him, right? To save him. Okay. What else? Any other thoughts? Yes, Corina. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. Seek this. Right.
That's what I was thinking about reading this passage.
Yes.
False teacher. And how do we know?
Right. Right. That's a great point. How do we know? How do you know? If, again, a person that is sincerely want to have a relationship with God, right? And sincerely reading the scripture and sincerely searching for the truth, but for whatever reason, under or exposed to different kind of teaching, right? How can I know that? How can I know that? You know, that's what we'll talk about here. From the first passage, or from the first verse, actually, he gives us some, you know, characters or how we can describe the false teaching, first of all, right? So let's take this and then move on with that, you know, as clear as we can get with this. Again, I want to point out something that you know, the false teaching does not necessarily always come from the outside also, right? But as you're saying, Owen, that we can become actually, you know, moving on with our own understanding, right? Rejecting, you know, the truth, rejecting the teaching, rejecting the guidance, and we interpret things on our own, right? And make our own teaching for our own selves. So not necessarily that, you know, that I'm exposed to certain kind of teaching, but I can actually become myself. Any one of us can become like, okay, I don't think this is right, right? And big part of it is the pride. Like, I know everything, right? I know everything, and I will just, you know, go along with whatever I feel like doing, right? So let's go back again to the text and see what St. Peter is trying to say. The first thing, again, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So he will talk about a couple of things. You know, first of all, I think the key for this passage is the word heresy, right? What is heresy? Brian, I'm waiting for you to come up with your dictionary. Yes.
Gotta wait a little bit.
You're not ready, huh? I think the big.
I got it.
Okay, go.
Heresy, adherence to a religious opinion contrary to church dogma.
Okay.
Number two, dissent or deviation from a dominant theory, opinion, or practice.
Okay, that's more of the general definition. Mm-hmm. But if you get to the root of the word itself, it's very, very, very actually interesting. It's choice. It's to choose. Imagine that. So the word itself, you know, haresis, you know, it's actually is to make a choice. Why is that interesting, and how is that relates to our own understanding of heresy? We can be the source of the heresy, right? Why? Yes, right? Reminds you of Eve, okay? She made a choice. Yes. And then Adam, they made a choice, right? It's very interesting, and that's what I'm saying. This word is, I think, the key for everything else. Why? Because, again, you know, the heresy is strictly the choice of an opinion contrary to that usually received. A choice of an opinion contrary to that usually received. Okay, tell me more. What do you think of that? I think we'll spend the whole time today about that word, heresy, because I think it's very, very important. A choice of an opinion contrary to that usually received, then, you know, something else is happening with that. Not only that, but let me add something else, and then I'll give you time to reflect. A false teacher forces you to make a choice between his doctrines and the doctrines of the true Christian faith. A false teacher forces you to make a choice. So he's here again, the interesting part is not just a choice, a free choice, but what forces you to make a choice between the doctrine that is being taught and the doctrine of the true Christian faith. So I'd like to hear from you. I'm going to get confused today. What do you think?
So, Buna, just to clarify, you're going back to the Greek, or yes. It's another word.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was that was further down on the page.
Sorry, Brian. I didn't give you a chance. Yes. 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 Yes, that's a very good point. So the idea of forcing you to have, make a choice, that's not Christ, like, right? Christ never said to anybody, you know, even when he was asked, like, this is the gospel of tomorrow, what should I do, right? You tell me, what do you know, right? What do you know, right? And then even when he said, the rich man, he said, okay, you know, go and sell everything, and then he left, like, your choice, right? But more, it becomes more of an issue when that choice becomes actually splitting into taking sides, right? So one of the things that I was reading, for example, you know, just on a church level, on a congregation level, okay, somebody will come and say, "What? I think I don't want to take the side of the priest. I will take the side of, you know, our own group that is totally opposing to what's happening here." With this definition, that is a heresy. Because you're causing what? Division. And you're taking sides. You're taking, like, this is my party. Right? Not party as a celebration, party as side. So how can that fit into our, like, the general understanding of the faith? And back again to Karina's question. How do I know? Yes, Albert.
I think about the history of the church. Arius, specifically, because it seems everyone was going along with it, except for, you know, Saint Athanasius.
Okay, so that's a great example, the Arian heresy about, you know, the son and the father and the son and the equality, right? And then he in a way pushed the people to make a choice based on what being so intellectual and able to convince the people that this is what it is, using just a couple of verses from here, a couple of verses from there, and twisting the whole fact against the original. This is very important, against the original teaching, right? And he kind of, you know, deceived. So the first thing with that is that the false teachers or the wrong teacher is what is deceptive, deception, right? Deception. And deception causes confusion, right? And deception, as we said, it is from the beginning. It is from the beginning, right? The first thing that Satan did, you know, the serpent did with Adam and Eve was what? To deceive, right? Deceive. But then always with the deception, again, if any kind of deception, you always have a standard and have another, again, opinion, right? So that's how I know there's a deception, because there is, you know, again, I'm a chemist, so, you know, we have always that what the control solution, right? Right? Yes. And that is your standard, right? That's my standard. If it's supposed to be pink, it's supposed to be pink. If it's supposed to be blue, it's, right? Whatever color that is, but I have the control solution, right? That's my standard. Anything against that, even if it's close enough, it fails, right? Dreen, I'm taking your spot here, you know, the scientist PhD. But it's very important to understand it this way, because there is a standard, and anything against that would be, and I can deceive myself, oh, I think it's close enough, right? But in science, there's no close enough, right? So the control, the standard is what? Is, that's why, again, remember, what did Peter start his second epistle with, if you remember that? The first verse, we talked about this a lot. That's our standard, right? Second Peter 1:1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What? An equal faith. That's very important. That's very important. That we have the standard. Right? Then again, you know, 1500 years later, somebody comes and like, well, that was wrong. Well, well, you choose, right? But the problem again, when the deception forces us to make a choice. So the first thing here that he's saying that what? That false teaching is deceiving, deceiving.
Congregation, and there's somebody who is promoting something and saying to the actual heresy, the actual pushing idea to you, versus being of the faith, following the faith, and you're all in a similar mind, and it's a it's like taking something, making it scholarly when it shouldn't be, or trying to see into a mystery which isn't to be. No, say the mystery of the Trinity, and say, let's now look at that and choose to understand that, and that mere act of choosing and looking at it in a scholarly way is itself heretical, because you're now pushing it beyond just, and you're now putting it into a position potentially of questioning faith itself, because you're going down that path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's not that whether you choose A or B and you chose B and that's the wrong thing and A is the right thing. It's the fact that you're now pushing something to divide, that has the potential to divide people from the basis of just fundamentally faith.
Yes, and that is the pushing part, right? That's the forcing part. Because you're forcing against the standard again, right? So not just, again, we're arguing about, you know, whether we should put the tables downstairs this way or this way, right? No, that's a choice that doesn't have anything to do with who we are, right? But when it comes to the faith, right? And we know what the standard is, we know what was given, right? And then by manipulating, if I may say that word, that's how I'm forcing people, right? When I say, no, this is all wrong, right? I just got like into a big discussion with one of our kids, high school. Again, coming, heard something from somebody else at school that, you know what, the communion is not the real presence of the Lord. Okay? That's a choice, whether I choose to believe this or not, right? But when the person that's talking to him is forcing him, no, you are wrong. This is all diabolic. Right? And you have to understand that this is right and leave what you believe in, then that's not a choice anymore. Right? And that becomes very dangerous. Right? You're still thinking.
Yeah, it's pretty much a congregation that is the Protestant one. They don't believe it's the little body of blood. And now you start questioning it in the congregation. Now you're the heretic. Them.
No, but remember that said it was
first. Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Choose.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, again, at the end of the day, it's a choice. Yeah. Right? But you still have the standard. You still have the standard, right? Standard based on the theology, based on the linguistic, based on the history, based on what the church believed in for 1500 years. Right? So that's a very, very solid stand. That's again, some, you know, Peter started the epistle with this particular, you know, way. You have an equal faith. This is Peter himself. So how do I know that Peter had that faith? Right? Again, this is all things that we, you know, you can't argue. The word itself that's used here for the wrong teaching is pseudo didaskalia, which is pseudo, again, like wrong, right? Or not yes. And that's that word is very, very important. Why is very important? Because we have what? The diaskalia, right? The teaching of the fathers that is something that is, you know, discovered and being translated and being preserved, and it's there, right? So I'm not just coming against, well, it's Father Jacob's opinion. No, right? It's not my teaching. That's why this word is very, very important. The didaskalia is very important because, you know, you have the standard and you have the pseudo, right? Right? So, but again, when it comes to the point like trying to force certain opinion, right? Let's take, again, let's just take a simple thing, the prosperity gospel, right? Just a simple thing, right? If you believe in God, all your life will be amazing. You have no issues at all, right? And that's teaching, right? I'm not just making up things. That's exact teaching, right? Your life will be beautiful. You will have no problems at all. Okay. There is manipulation here because all of us are trying to live a simple and beautiful and easy and prosper life. So there is a point of forcing here. It's not forced like common, like unless you believe in this. No, but this is what we want to hear, right? Remember when the gospel said that they will have an itchy ears to hear what they want to hear. That's what it is, right? So in a way, the teaching is forcing me to believe it. Because like, who wants to go through, like, no, here we come, you know, the church and the faith is hard and you have to go through the narrow gate and you have to suffer. Like, no, 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 I don't want this. So here you have, right? A faith that tells you this and a faith that tells you, you know what, God is, you know, you'll have all the blessing. You know, money will just fill your bank tomorrow morning, right? And if you just do this, right? It sounds like a choice, but it's a forced choice. And based on deception. Right? And based on standards, again, like, okay, well, we you know, it's beautiful when you look at this from actually the scriptural way, specifically the book of Jeremiah. Right? Jeremiah dealt with this in a very, very, very kind of funny way, actually. Right. At one point, you know, the two kings that came together, remember, king of Judah and king of the northern, you know, Israel. And then, okay, we need to make a treaty, so we'll fight the enemy together, right? And then the king of Israel said, okay, let's find some, you know, prophets that will confirm that we will go and have victory. And they had like 400 people, right? They all said, go fight. God is with you. You'll have the victory. And then, like, is there anybody else that can tell us the real? Right? And then Jeremiah came, like, why are you here? You know, we don't want to hear your word. We don't want to hear your teaching. Because you want to hear somebody that will tell us what? You will go and fight. Right? And you have the majority saying, go fight. And that's, again, that's the deception. Right? That's the forcing. We have 400 against one. Everybody's saying what? Conquer. You'll go. The Lord is with you. And Jeremiah comes and says, it's not going to happen. And you try to put him in the prison, right? To shut him up. But the word of the Lord is staying forever. Right? So big part of it, back again to the question, big part of why we are deceived, because we want to hear what we want to hear, right? That's back again to your point, right? We want to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear the teaching that tells us, you know what? You don't have to go to church. Just go to your room and pray. It's easy this way. Why do you have to struggle and go and do this? Right? It's between me and God. Right? I don't want to hear somebody like, okay, well, you have to go and make sure you repent daily. And like, oh, I'm saved. I'm good. Like, why do you have to go through all that, you know, pain? Right? The Lord is good. My sins are forgiven. I'm new. I can do whatever. It's easy to listen to this. Right? But again, God has given us the idea and the resources and the history and the faith and mainly the Holy Spirit that speaks in our heart. That's the most important thing. Something is not right. Something is not right. Again, how did, back again to Jeremiah, how did, you know, the king who was it? Zedekiah? I can't remember now. But how did the king of Israel, of Judah, know that, no, this is the 400 are not saying the right thing. Find me somebody else. Right? Because he was in tune with the Lord. Right? Right? So even if everybody else is against him, and that's back again to Lot, we'll talk about this later, right? But he was tormenting, something is wrong, right? So even if I don't have a choice, here is like, that's where I grew up, right? I never heard anything about what you're talking about before, right? This is how I grew up. And this is what I've been. But at one point, God continues to kind of like give you know, messages, right? Messages. Questions so far?
When it, based on what I'm saying, you're swift destruction to the ones that are the false prophets. So you can assume that this prosperity church, and the false teachers, they're not profiting, as they say, or the ones listening aren't profiting as they are seeking to get to the other prophet. And that if there were some that were to say, this isn't working, then they can be listening for the voice of God and go somewhere else and leave the church and go find where the truth lies. And it's where I would think the past, you know, and others would sit there and say, it's not property, but I'll just stick with it and just keep at it. This hasn't worked yet.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, God speaks to everyone in every way, right?
I mean,
again.
I've seen, I mean, like, ones you know are definitely false prophets where you have the televangelists and you go in, they get discovered of whatever they're doing. Other things are discovered because you can't hide. That's the Bible. Basically, those who do live this way, the darkness, you can do it in the darkness, but they're close. The light comes and it's revealed. And,
yes.
These people that are doing these things, revealed and they're discovered.
Yes. But again, remember, because St. Peter here also clarifies something else with that. So again, we need to clarify also that there are certain, you know, again, theological differences between other denominations and this and this and that. And we know, but again, there are things that we all agree on, right? So that's also important to bring up here, right? Because here is saying what they denying the master who bought them, denying that the Lord is God in the flesh, right? So we need to be also to be very careful what to call and what to call heresy, what to call not heresy, right? Because, you know, there are things that we agree on, we all Christianity agree on, right? And there are things that maybe there are differences here and there, and there are things that, you know, so that you know, the acceptance of you know, what God has given us and how God is speaking to each one of us in a different way is very, very important, right? But again, I think, you know, it comes back again to the you know, the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is actually talking to each one of us, right? And directing us towards something that is probably, you know, I'm missing something, right? There's something that is not, you know, quite clear, or right? Even within Orthodoxy itself. Sometimes, again, just the idea of being very, very ritual, right? And going by, as we were talking yesterday, right? Going by, you know, just being a religious person. Well, that is a heresy, honestly. Because I'm saying that I can obtain my righteousness based on my own work. And I totally, you know, ignore the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So it's very important. That's why, again, you know, what he's talking about here, that it is something that is, you know, the idea of it takes us away from that fact that we are actually at one point denying that the Lord is, right? Yes. Right.
strong, but the heart is receptive.
Right.
So it's always the fact that it's safer to go through the original interpretations. One thing that's sort of noticing about the aperture, the consistency in the message, like I listen to a lot of some of
Yes.
So
the same. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Message. Right. Yes. Yes. Because the again, the control is very clear, right? The standard is very clear, right? And it's not, you know, the I was talking to somebody, you know, just kind of like, you know, also being introduced to the Coptic Church. And so I asked him, like, why specifically the Coptic Church? And he goes, a church with so much martyrs has to be the right one. Again, I'm not saying again here, you know, judging anybody else, but you know, that the idea that the person came up with, like, if really people are really, you know, willing and giving their lives, and that, you know, with all the ups and downs of the church history, all the persecution that from the first century till now, different people, different authorities, different everything, but the church is still holding on to that same message. That means something. That means something. Right? Again, I'm by no means here, you know, judging anybody else or saying, you know, who is right, who is wrong, but we're saying that again, as St. Peter is saying here, that we've received equal faith, right? And that's what we're holding on to, that faith, right? And that's the faith that we're holding on till now, right? And the problem with the deception, again, is it becomes the second character of that false teaching is what it is, greedy. Meaning, again, the teaching is actually not directing the people to the Lord, but directing the people to the teacher, the preacher, right? And that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. We see this a lot when we go in Africa, right? That it's, you know, the church of, you know, so-and-so preacher, he is, you know, the most famous one. And, you know, you look at all the advertisement and the banners and everything with pictures of so-and-so. And again, it becomes very, very, very self-centered. And the entertainment, yes, yes. So it is, the message is not God, right? The message is who is preaching, right? Or who is, again, we can, you know, I probably said this story before, but since I'm standing here, you know, it's a beautiful story to see it now. Then, you know, in an Orthodox church, you know, there was, you know, again, Bible study, you know, it was sermon during a liturgy, and the preacher, the priest is standing here, right, and talking and speaking and bringing, you know, big message. And then in the front row, there is a mother and a little girl, right, standing there. And the girl is actually so fascinated with the icon. So she's trying to look at the icon of the Lord, right? And the priest is standing here, you know, covering the icon. She can't see the icon of the Lord. So she whispers in her mother, who is this person that's that's covering him? That's why I stand this way, right? But as simple as that story is, it is very, very, very true, right? I can be here, and it's all about me, right? And literally, I'm covering him. So that the simplicity of that little girl, like, who is this person? I want to see him. I don't want to see that man, right? So again, in whatever faith, whatever church, that idea of the self-centered, right, teaching and the self-centered, you know, righteousness and everything is very, very, very common and very dangerous. Very dangerous.
It was like this from the beginning of where,
yes,
like, even from way early in church history, like if you look at in the glorious area, they were, if you read about them, they were all lovers of attention and controversy.
Yes. It comes all about the attention of the person, right? Attention of the person. Right. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, in that light, when you look at how the fathers and the council, really, there's three councils that report the student, but how they tried to deal with the store and areas, and they would write letters, and they would ask them, you know, brother,
yes, yes, yes. No, no. That's a great point. That's a great point. You read the letters of like the letters that is written at like and during the councils, like towards those, you know, heretics, and it's very loving, right? It's not like, you know, you the whatever, you know, no, like brotherly love and greetings. Like, wait a minute, you know, we don't do this now, even if you're not even a heresy, just being disagreeing on whatever, right? We're just kind of like, you know, kill each other by words and by. And that, again, that's a very, very, very big, big, big proof of like, how can a person, you know, still hold that love and that respect to a person, although they are actually bringing a wrong faith and causing a split and division, right? The other thing that I want to mention here before we go on, which is a word that is interesting when we go back to the text here,
false
in verse 3, yes, yes. Go ahead, Brian, shoot.
so the Greek is plestos.
Yes, you read my mind, and which is what?
Yep, so the, yeah, it's a Greek word, and some synonyms. Background synonyms are there formed, F-O-R-M-E-D, formed or molded like clay,
right?
Also counterfeit.
Yes, yes. So thank you, Brian. With that verse, and they're greed. So here he's talking about that characters of the false teachers, that is what greed. And also, that's why I was saying manipulation. It says something very important. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. False words here, as Brian is just saying, is actually the word is what? Plastos, which from it, the English word plastic. It is something that can be formed. So they're using the words to form it in whatever mold that the people want to hear, right? And that's very, very dangerous and very clear at the same time, right? Again, whatever I want to hear, right? Want to hear that you're saved? Okay, you're saved. Want to hear that you're condemned? You're condemned. Want to hear, you know, whatever, right? Want to hear that you have to pay to be a member, right? Whatever, whatever. I want to hear, even in my own church, I want to hear that it's my own work that makes me righteous. I will do that, right? That's why it's very, very dangerous. And again, I bring it in the totality. Right? Because as we said, it comes very, very subtle. It's not going to come as, you know what, here I am, this person is actually start to teach wrong teaching. No, it comes as part, as I said, you know, from within, right? But we need to be aware, right? If we start to believe in our own righteousness, again, here we are, you know, we're in the season of the fasting, and you know what, I will fast till, you know, sunset, right? And will never eat anything, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this, because then I will become, you know, so righteous. Who told you that? Right? That's a false teaching, right? I will humble myself in front of the Lord, yes. I will fast, yes, but with a broken heart, right? And knowing that it's Him who will make me everything that I want to be, not right. So it is very, again, the text is very, as I said, very sharp and very clear. You know, the word itself he's saying here that false words are not just false words, much, much, much more dangerous. Form plastic words like a mold can be, you know, whatever. Right. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, no. Even though they are staying, even though, like, but God is actually, why, as David said, you know, I love this point, like, God will not deal with this lightly. Because there is, you know, again, the whole point is we're not bringing, and that's even why, I mean, in within even the church here, we always say that, be careful that the church is, remember, the church is the house of the Lord. Sometimes you're attached, you've probably heard this before, right? To the house of the Lord, not to the Lord of the house. It's very important, even within the church, right? Come and we have, you know, activities and we have studies and we have commitments and conventions and retreats, and we come very, very easily attached to the house. But remember, we need to be, the church has to lead us to the Lord of the house, right? I can be very active in the church. I can be doing whatever in the church. I can be, you know, 24/7, not doing anything else, but I'm still struggling with loving my neighbor, as he says. Then the church is not bringing me to him. I'm just kind of, again, getting that self-righteousness. So I'm a religious person. Yes? Yes, yes. Because they just have, you know, have the shape and the figure and the shape of being righteous. But you think you're rich, but you are what? Blind and miserable. Yes, God forbid. God forbid. So there is a lot of things to contemplate about and to think about here. But I think, again, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Whether, again, you know, and definitely that sincerity of the prayers and of the request of, like, God, you know, just show me who you are, right? Whatever I am. Because, again, it can be very, very, very easily, even within Orthodoxy itself, it can be very easy to still go astray. Just follow some rituals and follow some rules and follow some things. And then, well, what else do I do? What else should I do? Here I am. I know everything. But that's not it. That's not it. If the church doesn't bring us, I was just reading something, I was just talking to somebody today. If God's relationship with God doesn't bring me that joy, then it's not what it is. Right? But still, meanwhile, the enemy is trying to steal that. Right, but just you know, the understanding and the simplicity and the continuous request for God to guide us and for the Spirit to guide us, right, in every single day. So we'll stop at this point, and again we'll take 4 weeks pause. So just look at the calendar here again. Starting 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th, and then actually the 6th, because the 6th is the celebration of Nativity. So we'll come back again to the Bible study on the 13th, God willing, January 13th. So more to study, more to read, more to have questions, more to reflect, and more to be definitely guided by the Spirit in our readings to bring us back to Him again. That's what we want to do, right? Just enjoy His presence in a very, very simple way, in a very simple request, going to be in His presence and let him teach us His ways. He is the way. Okay, let's pray. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that guides us, directs us, opens our eyes, Lord, towards the truth. You are the way, truth, and God. Prayers of all your saints, Lord, in your name, yes, we pray to see our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. On earth, give us this day. Forgive those who trespass. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us in Christ Jesus. Thine is the power of the Lord. May the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit, with you go in peace. Peace be with you all. Amen. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
You guys.
You guys.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.